thank you very much. I'm very happy to be here. Just information. Slideshow. Okay. First of all, a few words about my background, because I'm not only economist, but I come from finance department. So this is why in my studies I always try to focus on the way we finance all the instruments to collect money, but also how we spend them and what instruments, what kind of agreements we use. This article, my research is at the element of ongoing project financed by the National Center, and I hope at the beginning of next year you can, for those who would be interested, read the book Economy of Disability Policy. That is the effect of my studies on disability, rationality of disability expenses. And this year I also did a project for the Polish Rehabilitation Fund. That is a very important and underestimated institution in Polish social system, I would say, because its location is very, very special. In the title of this presentation, I used the expression social finance, and I think it needs a little bit of description, because it's not popularly used, actually. I use it in my papers to describe the specific coherence, specific situation that we have when we need to finance social policy. Because usually in standard division we have public policy connected with budget, state or local, private business, and the third sector. But in long-term care, we need all of them. We use all of them in most of the system. What we were talking now, how to connect healthcare that is financed in from taxes with social, with private, with also unregistered work. So the social finance and the social economy, I think it's a new element of public policy, public goals perception. And in public finance, we have now this very trendy way of looking at the goals, which is performance budgeting. We look at the goals. We have to establish the goals and we should achieve them, versus allocation that we have to deliver for free. And I have a feeling that in most of the presentation connecting long-term care, we have this this performance budgeting, this goal achievement stressed more and more with every year's conference. I have this idea that I always try to express when I have presentation, that talking about long-term care, we shouldn't forget or we shouldn't neglect disability policy. Because very often I have a feeling that treat long-term care as a separate area, but we cannot cut it from disability policy, that we already have a lot of experience and we already have a lot of researchers' ideas. In Poland, we give you an easier example. In Poland, we had such a situation that we have new benefits for careers of children, especially parents and women. And there is absolutely neglected area for on benefits for the adults, the mature dependent persons. For children, okay. For adult persons, nearly none. So this is why when we look at the long-term care, of course, long-term care focus on elderly generation because of its age nature. The policy that we create or we suggest how to create should be as flexible as it's possible. It was on, I think, the presentation in the previous hours that we cannot make it separate. The other element is that we're gonna live longer, but what was already said, we're gonna live in much worse conditions. So you can notice, those are my calculations, that we live longer, and it's easy to see, especially change badly. Especially what surprised me when I was doing this, that if we look at Germany or Austria, the country that usually show us the very good example, right? So the life expectancy is rise, but at the same time, this life is going to be lived in much, much worse condition. This does not refer to another, but the same very good example, at least statistically, the Sweden, where we have life expectancy getting longer, higher, and at the same time, much, much better indexes for the healthy life. This is like surprising, you know, probably some of you were on the presentation about the Sweden in the Congress panel, and it was said that there are such changes that probably in Sweden, they don't want people to live longer, because it's very cost effective. But anyhow, the structure of healthcare, social support system, makes life not only longer, but healthier. In other countries like Germany, Austria, the sentence is very negative. We have such, in some groups like Poland, for example, where we have very, very bad, especially for women. Yes, very, very bad indexes for women. So, this is why we have this very good paper on OECD from last year saying that striking difference between spending on healthcare and long-term care is roughly independent of age. So maybe it's not the matter of age, it's not only the general policy or old-age policy, it must be long-term care policy for all generations. There is also another phenomenon that we cannot forget of creating the long-term care. This is what I call the long-term assistance. We have more and more people being active, performing activities in work life, social life, but needing a long-term assistance like asthma, like stress, like any other elements. So we also need to include them. It cannot only be the long-term care with this very, very narrow definition. So following the Austrian researchers, I always want to stress that we have not only should look at the holistic nature of a human being, but also holistic nature of public finance. It always goes together. All decisions that you make, for example, as the social policy designers, will be reflected or have to be reflected in public finance. How can long-term care be financed? Or from the theoretical point of view, you know, you have social insurance, tax, usually mixed. You can have private insurance, self-insurance, mortgages, different elements. But very often, in many papers, I can find this expression that the level of expenditure does not depend on the method. Okay, but we need to find money to finance it. And usually, as you know from your experience, first of all, we have a decision what should we finance, what is important from the social, national point of view, then we need to find money. Every tool has its own dynamic. When we decide for contribution, let's we implement insurance system, labor costs, every year prayer of politicians. We have to make them lower because we need our economies to be more competitive. When we introduce contribution, it's not general coverage, because usually you have some groups, it is part of payroll, so what about unemployed persons? When people pay and they feel that they pay, it raises expectations. We pay, we want this, very politically key. And this is maybe a cross for the distribution directly linked, yes? So we pay for, or there is a system collecting money for the goal, so we have them. We only can spend them for the care, not for anything else. We start strongly GDP dependent, which is obvious, and, but we have to mention. Politically influenced. Elections every 4 years change. But it's universal. When we increased VAT, for example, Germany did a few years ago, it's, you can say it's kind of justice, everyone has to pay. And it's much simpler to introduce. You don't need legislation, you need on, you can change only one element in one legislation, and that's all. How it is in fact, yeah? So the question was how it can be financed and now how it is financed. As you can see, I was trying to make it possible to compare. However, as you know from this other presentation, this is very complicated. Some even for people coming from countries they describe. Most of the countries they still use taxes, and in general we have taxes. But I also was trying to divide between state budget and local budget, so we have countries like Sweden, for example, with the taxes, but those are nearly exclusively local taxes. In several cases, more significant are, okay, local. Taxation does not exclude contributions. So we have several countries having taxation and the system of the contribution systems, like Germany, for example. Discussion that we have the system plus social assistance, social benefits financed from taxation. In some countries, I'm only sure about those countries. In legislation, so it is not like informal. In legislation, we have this co-payment by the people needing care. So it is like we have to pay, we have to cover 20, 30 of another element, another part of expenses. So actually I think, after some discussion, I think it is the common observation that there is no country that has a coherent system that is only dedicated or is pointing into care. We have in some countries like Germany, Japan, Belgium, part in Belgium, that we have instruments dedicated for long-term care. But in most of countries we have a little bit like a random choice. We take a little bit of health care, we take a little bit of a local. I'm not saying it's good or bad, but what I want to say that this when we talk about finance, we have to see this all. And so it is so, does it make it easier to separate money for healthcare, for long-term care from other systems? I'm not sure. There was a very nice presentation about Korea. And that was that we have one source of money divided in two kinds of providers. Yeah, so maybe this is one of the points of money. Flow of money is strongly separated. I'm afraid to show it because Bernard was so critical to the OECD data, but just to show it. The data, OECD data from 2013, public expenditures for long-term care and healthcare. So in most those data are completely different from the presentation last hour, but you can see that there is still a huge difference. So the long-term care, including health expenses, differs or are much smaller than the expenditure on health care. Public versus private, 2011. This is zero. In many countries, there was even no data available. It's, of course, the most important question, can we believe the statistics or do we have statistics? No, because in Poland, I'm absolutely sure if we calculate the private expenses, they're going to be three times, four times higher than public. It because we don't merely have a public system. We have to finance from public money. And this is what the EU data from 2013 last year. How it's going to increase? How much as a percentage of GDP? So you have to add the sum, you have to sum it up. So if you have, for example, to Poland, that is 0.4, only public, forget private, then in 2016, 1.4. Public, yes, if we cut the system as we cut now, maybe, but I suppose it will be higher. Anyhow, you can see that for many countries it doubled, it even tripled. So it really shows the importance of this. Another problem that I especially focus on are carers, because this is again no one way or no simple element how to pay to the carers. We have different situation. We have care benefit that goes to dependent person, and this person hires someone, like we said in Germany. Then we have some public institutions that hire carers, as in France, I think. And we have benefits that go through career directly. So there is a contract between insurer or agency and the career. So we have very, very big situation. We have in some European Union countries, because this is what I work with, we have restrictions that you cannot be a member of family to receive this money. In some other countries, it's that you have to be a member, or at least you have to stay in the same household. So I think this is the area that needs from countries, but also maybe from the European Union, some kind of coordination to make it simpler. For example, in Poland, we have no flexible contract. First of all, the private person cannot hire another private person. There is no legal way pay official money from one private person to another private person. So, okay, let's imagine I have a company and I pay to someone to take care of my parents. I have to pay so many contributions, the social security taxes, blah, 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 that what is left to the career is one third. So, of course, if I want my parents, I would care and pay under this. So, this is what problem. Even though you would like to do this, in some countries there is no legal way to make. Okay, problem of Poland. Problem, first of all, our society is aging much faster than the EU average, because we had a second baby boomers wave that was in the 70s. So this is why we have this changes much stronger. Now the situation is not that bad. I mean, 2050, the increase of citizens over 65 is going to be quite dramatic. And then we have something what we call contribution gap. Because of high unemployment, then the very high migration, and the strong avoidance of permanent contract, this is what I said, paying so much to stay, we have a very huge decrease in income to social security. So already, we have a huge deficit in social security funds. And then another problem that is already seen is a care gap. And you look at the researchers from the European Center from Vienna, they say that within Europe, with the exception of Austria, the first country that the informal careers come from is Poland. Italy, Germany, this is the biggest group. And those are usually women between 40 up to 60, and another researcher done by international group showed that if it's possible, those women try to stay in countries they work. So they try to stay in Germany, in Norway, for example. So what about them? Who's going to take care of them? If we also have something, I don't know, it's this problem we call sandwich care. The usual woman has to take care of parents and the child at the same time. So we call it sandwich problem because she's trapped from both sides. Yeah? So this is also when we say that we have huge supply of the cheap workforce, the care workforce. It's not true. It's the last 2 years. Because of a lot of young people, they leave for study, they migrate, the care gap starts almost now. Because we already we were talking a little bit about the Polish system, so I only mentioned its tariff base. Okay, we have finance through healthcare system, social protection. The care is limited or inadequate. If we have few studies, really few research, there's still area to restore for very good research. And this care is definitely not enough or should be better. The family is the primary entity responsible. What was said, the family has to pay. If family does not pay for the nursing house, the residence house, the community has right to call a child, children, spouse, okay, to the court to pay, no matter the legal situation. So we have you can hear about the market situation, that children that don't like parents or never lived with their parents, they never seen parents in their father, for example, in their life, they have to pay. So this is what happens. This is the structure of disability expenses in Poland in 2010. I just show it to show how it looks, the structure, because we don't have this long-term care taken away from all disability expenses. So we can only say that in part of rehabilitation is what goes for the social, for the long-term care. Social protection, NGO support, yes? So this is the structure we can, it is possible to take some information about this, but tell you how much do we spend every year, what is the public expenses, including NGO per person, this is per capita and this is per disabled person. This is the only calculation that was done in Poland and only for 2010 because we have huge problems. I had huge problems to calculate education, this is obvious, because every community, they never show, we cannot collect the data. I should go to every 2,500 communities in Poland to collect separated data, there are no educated information. But Poland is the best in capita expenses. You can see the different lines, Denmark, Finland, Sweden, Cyprus, countries with the lowest level of disability expenses and the highest. But you can see this country, Poland, is the only country within 2010 that cut expenses so much, down to 50%, half of the expense. So we can see this also in the level of long-term care disability policy and all that. Okay, so what now? Let's make it easy. Let's increase VAT. Fast, simple. We did it in 2012, but the total income did not increase significantly because of problems with export, the demand, so it's not very fiscally efficient. Okay, now social security contribution. In 2007, the disability contribution was decreased with 4%, and then after a couple of years, was increased with 3%. So you can see that the fiscal efficiency is much, much better. So if we really want to collect some sources in this political situation and this structure, probably this is the better solution. So, I wrote before I knew that our prime minister is going to leave Poland for the European Union. So now the situation changed a little bit because the political situation is not that stable. Probably not that stable. But the idea is that first of all, we should start with taxes because it's easier. We can. This is a smoother way to collect some money, but we should work with society, with media, with public perception to introduce some kind of insurance. So we connect, we need separate flow with insurance to, if we want to create some funds. And this, the last, this is done a little bit to make it more marketized, easier to read, to see. We need connection. I think that the long-term care should be element of general disability policy, not separate. Commodification. We have to pay for care. We cannot expect ladies to do it for free for their lifetime because we're going to have depression, suicides, high immigration. We have to do something with it. Not mentioning that we need support for the care, so it's absolutely necessary. And coordination. There should be, I think, with this problem of young culture of in Poland, this is, how to say this, it's only 20 years we have this the market policy and democracy, let's say, pure democracy. I think we still need the institution of doing someone called somehow coordinator. We already have in our system. So this is what I think should be direction for.
Okay, thank you very much.